I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You and I were talking about Patrick Williams, and I feel like the two of us were kind of on the same page of you can't expect the world from this guy. It's been worse than I thought, and I really wasn't expecting anything. But you look at the game that he had last night and the choice to not insert him into the game after Alex Caruso fouled out, that doesn't seem like it feels like he's in a good place with this coaching staff.
He's not. I mean, it's not to say there's friction, but when it comes down to trust of who to put in, no, his play has not asserted himself in any way to have the honor of closing a game, even when one of the key starters fouls out. And like you mentioned, no shots in 13 minutes against the Knicks. I think he's averaging 4 field goal attempts per game since returning from that serious wrist injury. And he just hasn't been aggressive whatsoever at all. And that is largely on him. I know that he often ends up in the corner in the Bulls offense. That's also a spot that Javonte Green ends up often. But a couple times a game, you see Javonte Green flying at the rim and trying to dunk or attack. And you don't see that very often from Patrick Williams. So he needs to have a little bit more of a decisive mindset if he's going to take the next step. You cannot develop as a basketball player if you aren't a little more aggressive, a little more assertive. And right now he's really taken a back seat in the role to everything. The Bulls got him in the middle of the floor a couple times last night, had one good pass that he sprayed out to Coby White, had one really bad turnover. They kind of went away from that anymore of putting him in the middle of the floor, being in pick and roll after that. So it's incumbent upon him. And right now, Billy Donovan and the coaching staff's in a difficult position because you want to develop him, but you played so hard so long all year that you want to do what's best for the team, what's best for playoff seeding. And when the playoffs roll around, what gives you the best chance to win every single game, every single second of that game?
It's weird because he needs the time, like on the floor with the other guys, to try and find himself. You know, Vooch went through some of this earlier in the season of trying to figure out what your game is with the rest of the guys out there. But I understand them saying, no, we'll go with the smaller, less athletic player in these situations because he's not aggressive enough. And I'm trying to figure out, is that just a personality trait that can somehow be coached out of him? Or is this who he always was, even at Florida State? And looking at the Florida State tape of him, it seemed like he was able to find offense and aggression when he needed to.
Yeah, the truth always lies in the middle, right? Like, he's never going to be a gunner. At this point, I don't see Patrick Williams ever being a 20 points per game scorer in the NBA in any way. But yes, there is certainly another level that can be coached into him that can come with time and experience of him being more aggressive, of him turning into a productive offensive player when he gets more time and experience. When you're looking at, can he average 15 points and be a good defender? Certainly, that is absolutely within the realm of possibility here in his development. But when you look at his mindset, no, I don't see offensive superstar. I don't see offensive star, anything like that. I mean, these young guys that are really good on offense and project to be a star on that end at some point come in far more aggressive in the league, far more certain of what they want to do, and go through a lot of growing pains. The difference is that those young guys' growing pains, I mean, you look at some of Anthony Edwards' shooting lines as a rookie, like he'd be like 4 of 19, you know what I mean? And Patrick Williams was never in that offensive realm of like of Anthony Edwards or anything like that, but it's kind of just jarring to see 0 shots or some of these games, even when he's playing 19 minutes and has 3 shots. So it's on him, again, to be more aggressive. I think it's a mindset thing. I think it will come with more time. And I've made a point a little bit. It feels like in these situations going into the year, we were like, can DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine exist at a high plane? You know, can they be efficient together? Is that going to work? For the most part, the DeMar-Zach pairing has worked very well on the offensive end. But you know what? Zach is really comfortable playing off the dribble or in an isolation set if DeMar's had the ball for 7 or 8 seconds or something like that and operated, and then it gets swung to Zach in some sort of offensive set. These young guys, Patrick Williams notably, I think Kobe White as well, they don't play as well off DeMar DeRozan's isolation as these veterans like Zach and like Vooch, who are obviously more talented offensive basketball players, far more established. But for these young guys, I think it can be difficult at times playing off some of that isolation heavy Bulls basketball, and you're seeing kind of the ugly side of that at times here recently.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.